ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. సదాశివసమారంభాం శంకరాచార్యమధ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్యపర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం. సద్గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. శివానందలహరి. శ్లోక 1. కళాభ్యాం చూడాలంకృత శశికలాభ్యాం నిజ తప ఫలాభ్యాం భక్తేషు ప్రకటిత ఫలాభ్యాం భవతు మే శివాభ్యామస్తోకం త్రిభువన శివాభ్యాం హృది పునః పర్వాభ్యామానంద స్ఫురదనుభవాభ్యాం నతిరియం. శ్లోకా 2. గళంతీ శంభోః త్వచ్చరిత సరిత కిల్బిషరజః తళంతీది కుల్యా సరణిషు పతంతీ నిజమతాం దిశంతీ సంసార భ్రమణ పరితాపోపశమనం వసంతీ మచ్చేత హ్రతభువి శివానందలహరీ. సో వి సా ది ఫస్ట్ శ్లోక, ది మంగళాచరణ శ్లోక ఇన్ ది లాస్ట్ వెబినార్. Now the Acharya, he introduces the subject matter of this work, the Shivananda Lahari, Vishayaha. It is Shivananda Lahari, which is mentioned in this shloka. The name Shivananda Lahari occurs here in this shloka. Here also we can see the poetic beauty of the Acharya's, the Sanskrit shlokas. Kalabhyam, Shashi Kalabhyam was mentioned in the first shloka. Palabhyam, Prakatita Palabhyam. Here it is Galanti, Dalanti, Dishanti, Vasanti. So, Shivananda Lahari Vijayatam. May the stream, the flow of Shivananda, Shiva Bhakti, the Ananda, Vijayatam, reign supreme. Let it reign supreme, let it be the predominant thing in my mind. May the Shiva Ananda, the Ananda born out of Shiva Bhakti, that's how we interpreted it in the last webinar. May the Shiva Bhakti Janita Ananda, may that Satvik Ananda, that Mangala Ananda, that auspicious Ananda, let it be reigning supreme in my mind. May my mind be soaked in Sivananda. May my dry mind be soaked in the syrup of Shivananda, perhaps, Vijayatam. So Shivananda Lahari, now we get the description of Shivananda. That's what is described in this shloka. Galanti is one description. Dalanti is the second one. Patanti the third. Dishanti the fourth. Vasanti the fifth. So five adjectives ending in all ti. All are feminine adjectives. Iti, ikaranda, strilinga. All feminine adjectives qualifying Shivananda Lahari since it is also feminine. So we will now see one by one the description of the torrential stream of Shivananda. And the first question is, where does this stream of Ananda originate? Where does it begin? He says, Hey Shambhoho, O Lord, so it's a Sambodhana, who is Mangalaprada. Sham means Mangalam, Buhu, producer, generator. So Shambhu means Sham, Mangalam, by the one who is Utpadayati, iti Shambhu. So the Shambhu is the person who generates Mangalam. Sham Mangalam Bhavayati Utpadayati, iti Shambhu. So the Lord is the generator of Mangalam. O Mangalaprada, O Lord, Tvat Charita Sharitaha Galanti Shivananda Lahari. Tvat Charita Saritaha Galanti Shivananda Lahari. Galanti, Kalanti means tumbling down from, emerging out of what? Tvat Charita Saritaha. Sarit means a river, a big wide river. And what type of river it is? Tvat Charitam is Shiva Charitam. Shiva Katha, the story, the avatara katha of Shiva, the Shiva Leelas, Shiva Puranas. Just as Ramayana, it deals with Ramacharitam. And Bhagavatam deals with Krishna Charitam. Shiva Puranam deals with Shiva Charitam. Not only the glory of Lord Shiva, but also the various avataras of Lord Shiva. That is the Shiva Katha. Not only that, the stories of all the Shiva Bhaktas also. are just only of the Lord. If a person has to develop an Ishta Devata Bhakti, there is only one method. We discussed about Ishta Devata Bhakti in the last webinar. Only by listening to the stories of the Lord and the Bhaktas. So, Bhagavad Charitam and Bhagavata Charitam, both Bhagavad Charitam and Bhagavata Charitam, one has to listen to. And is that why? That is the reason all the 63 Nayanmars, they are all written very elaborately. The stories will enable one to get not the Advaita Bhakti, we are not ready for that yet. Initially, Ekarupa Bhakti, that Ekarupa Ishwara Bhakti Artham, all these stories are all heard. Therefore, here Shankaracharya compares Shiva Puranam or Shiva Katha with a huge river, wide river. And from the river, several streams or tributaries, they all come. One tributary is what? Shivananda Lahari, that is found here in this shloka. So, Tvat Charita Saritaha, from the river of your Katha or stories of your glories, tumble down or emerge this Shivananda Lahari. That is how it should be interpreted. And why do we compare this only with one stream? Because this is only one tributary. Why do we compare it one stream alone? Because there are hundreds of stories. And all of them are not mentioned here in this particular verse, Shivananda Lahari. So this is only one tributary. Only one rivulet. Another person has written Shiva Leela Arnavam. That is another great work. So that is another stream of Ananda. This is only one. And Galanti, that indicates that this is not a trickling, feeble stream of water, but a torrential flow. So, Tvacharita Saritaha is actually Panchami Vibhakti. Galanti from the story is arising, is emerging. This is the first adjective. And what does this stream of Ananda do? That is given in the second adjective. Kilbisha Rajaha Dalanti. This stream of Shivananda destroys or wipes out all the sins, all the papams, all the kilbishams. Just as a powerful stream of water will wipe off all dirt and dust, all the impurities in the form of papam, kilbisham rajaha, dust or dirt, all those accumulated by me over many janmas, not only in this janma, over many janmas. Sanchita Papa Vimanashana Lingam Tat Pranamami Sada Shiva Lingam. A slow flowing stream cannot remove this accumulated dirt over several janmas. It is stuck strongly. Therefore, a powerful jet of water that alone can do that. So, Kilbisha Rupa Rajaha. Rajaha means again. So, it is object of Dalanti. Dalanti. So, listening to Shiva Charitam itself is a method of removing the papa. One listens to Shiva Charitam. So, Ishwara Katha Shravanam itself is a purifier. Just Shravanam itself. How does it happen? The reason given is the mind always has the capacity to take the form or character of an object which it thinks of. That is the one capacity of the mind. As a person thinks, so he becomes. That is why dussanga, the association with bad people, will make the mind dushta. And satsangaha will make it a satpurusha. A person, it will make the mind will become sattvic. Here the Lord is the embodiment of all virtues. And when I listen to the kathas of the Lord, the stories of the Lord, my mind is attuned to the glories. And the positive virtues of the Lord, in due course, unknowingly, I also acquire them. This is called, in physics actually, they call it sympathetic vibrations. When one wire moves in a particular frequency, the adjacent wire also moves. Similarly, when positive virtues I listen to, my mind also becomes daivikam. This is an effortless method because my role is more a passive role only. I need not actively do anything, but by mere association with good people, I transform my mind. So here the association is with the Lord himself, not with any other human being, with the Lord himself. So Kilbisha Rajaha Dalanti wipes off or sweeps away all our papams, all our sins. And therefore, this is another method of Chitta Shuddhi. This is the second glory. And then what is the third glory? ದೀಕುಲ್ಯ ಶರಣಿಷು ಪತಂತಿ. ದ ಸ್ಟ್ರೀಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಶಿವಾನಂದ ವಿಚ್ ಎಮರ್ಜಸ್ ಔಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಶಿವಚರಿತಂ ಟ್ರಾವೆಲ್ಸ್ ಥ್ರೂ ವೇರಿಯಸ್ ಕನಾಲ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಇನ್ಸೈಡ್ ಮೈ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ. ದಿ ಕೆನಾಲ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ವಾಟ್? ನಥಿಂಗ್ ಬಟ್ ಮೈ ಓನ್ ವೃತ್ತೀಸ್, ಮೈ ಓನ್ ಥಾಟ್ಸ್. ದೇ ಸರ್ವ್ ಟು ಕ್ಯಾರಿ ದ ವಾಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ಶಿವಾನಂದ ಥ್ರೂ ದ ಪೈಪ್ ಲೈನ್. ದೇ ಸರ್ವ್ ಎಸ್ ಅ ಪೈಪ್ ಲೈನ್ ದ ಥಾಟ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ದೀಹಿ, ದೀಹಿ ರೆಫರ್ಸ್ ಟು ದ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಹಿಯರ್. ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಥಾಟ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಮೈಂಡ್, ದ ಥಾಟ್ಸ್. ಕುಲ್ಯ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಕೆನಾಲ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಪೈಪ್ ಲೈನ್ಸ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಸರಣಿ, ಸರಣಿ ರೆಫರ್ಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಪ್ಯಾತ್. ಸೊ ದಿ ಕುಲ್ಯ ಸರಣಿ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದ ಪ್ಯಾತ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಕನಾಲ್ ವಿಚ್ ಆರ್ ನಥಿಂಗ್ ಬಟ್ ದ ಥಾಟ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ಥ್ರೂ ದ ಥಾಟ್ ಅಲೋನ್ ಶಿವಾನಂದ ಎಂಟರ್ಸ್ ಮೈ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಆರ್ ಮೈ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ. ಸೊ ದಿ ಕುಲ್ಯ ಸರಣಿಷು ಪತಂತಿ ಫ್ಲೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಥ್ರೂ ದಿ ಕನಾಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಥಾಟ್ಸ್. ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ದ ಫೋರ್ತ್ ಅಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟಿವ್ ಇಸ್ ಸಂಸಾರ ಭ್ರಮಣ ಪರಿತ ಉಪಶಮನಂ ದಿಶಂತಿ. ನಾಟ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ದ ಪವರ್ಫುಲ್ ಜೆಟ್ ಆಫ್ ವಾಟರ್ removes all the impurities, it has another role also. For example, when a machine gets heated up, they need cold water to cool it. Similarly, when the Shivananda stream coming from the Shiva Charitam river enters my mind and flows through my thought channels, it serves as a coolant, cooling all the heat generated by the sorrows of samsara. We are pulled here and there by the sorrows of pangs of samsara. So the sorrows are compared here to tapam, manaha tapam, manas tapam. So how the tapam is generated in the mind? Samsara brahmana janya paritapaha. These are all samsara brahmana has generated all these. Samsara brahmanam means moving from one problem to the another. We are torn apart from this problem to that problem to this problem. That is always the case with every individual. Samsara, samsara sagaram dukkham. Carried by the wind of prarabdha, and because of the brahmanam, tremendous tapam, depression, anger, irritation, worry, frustration, they all get generated in the mind because the power of free will is too small in front of prarabdha. Prarabdha always acts on its own. That is why most times what I plan does not happen, something else does. Every such event creates a small temperature rise in me. By the time we are 60 or 70, all the heat increases and I become almost a volcano ready to erupt. Who is the victim? The Lord knows this is my condition. Such a heated up mind is cooled down by the flowing stream of Shivananda. So, samsara brahmana paritapa upashamanam. Upashamanam means subduing. Dishanti. Dishanti means causing. So, Shivananda Lahari is that which causes the cooling down of the torment of samsara caused by various situations in my life. This is the fourth adjective. And what is the fifth adjective of Shivananda Lahari? The Shivananda which comes from the stories through Shravanam, by listening to the stories through, by hearing them, has to go through the ears and enter my thoughts, and through thoughts they come, and finally they have to get settled where, or stored up somewhere, and where? Mat cheto hrada bhuvi, in the heart bed, which is nothing but my own mind. So hradam, hradam means a lake, a saras, bhuvi, the bed. So the lake bed of the lake, which is mat chedaha, my own mind, that is the reservoir. So which receives and accumulates all the Shivananda, the Shivananda stream which enter every time I listen or read the glory, the story of the Lord. What does it mean? This Machedaha that refers to my subconscious mind, my memory faculty. Because memory is the reservoir which keeps all the experiences, the vasanas. And when I have worldly experiences, those pains are reserved in the memory. And that is why they come now and then. And even though it may be a happy occasion, maybe the wedding of a daughter or son, possible. But without any connection, some thought of someone passing away several 20, 30 years ago, that will come. Everybody is happy at that time. It is supposed to be a very auspicious occasion, while this person alone may be crying even. Why that memory should come? which memory should come when, that is not in our control at all. Vasanas are stored, but the activation of the vasanas is not under my control. So the most inappropriate, painful vasana can be activated at the most inappropriate time. Then how to deal with it and tackle that? Only the solution is keep good vasanas in the mind, so that whenever there is this activation, you will have only Shivananda vasanas activated. That is why one should be thinking of the Lord all the time. Always in satsanga, have only good thoughts in the mind only. One devotee actually sings, Chittamellam Enakku Shivamayame. There was one movie. So he sings, Chittamellam, in my entire memory, it's all only Shivamayam, nothing else. In my thoughts, fully it is all Shiva only. My entire mind is saturated with the chintana, with the thought of Shiva only, so that even when I dream, only such thoughts will emerge. And even if I blabber, what comes is only Shiva. Actually, there was a great scholar by the name Appaya Dikshidhar. He wanted to test his own vasanas. So he called all his shishyas. He took a juice of a particular plant, Unmatta plant, a juice of a particular plant. What it will do is it will make a person, make him out of mental control. He will become a lunatic. And he will then blabber. So he asked all his shishyas to note down whatever he would blabber. So when he started blabbering, what happened? Came out such a beautiful verses on the glory of Lord Shiva in Sanskrit. They are called Unmatta Panchashat. Very, very beautiful Sanskrit rendering, which many of us cannot even write, even while we are in our senses. Such a scholarly, a great work by Appaya Dikshidhar. Similarly, because of constant katha shravanam, my subconscious will be saturated with Shiva Chintana. And even if I blabber at the time of death, it will be only saturated with Shiva Chintana. Even if my free will is knocked off, even if I have no control on my free will, this is generally the case at the time of death, even if I go into a coma at the time of death, my thought pattern will be Shiva Chintana only. And therefore, I am going to connect that Shiva Chintana stream to my mind. So, Machedo Hrata Bhuvi Vasanti. Then Shivananda Lahari, which is the noun. So, all these are five different adjectives. So, Galanti, Dalanti, Patanti, Dishanti, Vasanti, Shivananda Lahari. So, such a stream of Shivananda Lahari, Vijayatam. May it reign supreme in my heart. Let it dominate in my heart. Let it be saturated in my thoughts. May I be soaked in those thoughts, saturated with those thoughts. That is the prayer. Shloka 3. This is the concerns the meditation on the form of Shiva. Trayi Vedyam Hridyam Tripurahara Madhyam Trinayanam Jatabarodharam Jaladuragaharam Mrigadharam Mahadevam Devam Mayi Sadaya Bhavam Pashupatim Chidalambam Sambam Shivamati Vidambam Pratipache. So here we will see the general meaning of the next three shlokas. Most of the words are fairly straightforward. Hridi Bhaje, I meditate upon in my heart. Meditate upon whom? Shivam, Shivaha. Who is? The rest of the shloka are all adjectives of Shiva. Trayi Vedyam, the one who can be known by the three Vedas, the Rig Veda, Yajur Veda and Samaveda. And Hridyam, who is very pleasant to the mind. A person, by mere thinking of him, makes my mind very pleasant. Who is Tripuraharam, who destroyed the three cities, Tripuras. Stula, Sukshma, Karana, Sharira, Trayaharam. The three bodies, the Stula Shariram, Sukshma Shariram and Karana Shariram. Once the Shariram means, once the three city, the three bodies are destroyed means what? The person gets Videha Mukti. There is no need for him to gain another body. So who destroys the three bodies and gives Videha Mukti. Actually, there is also a Puranic story. This is the Vedantic meaning. The Puranic story is there were three asuras by the name Tarakaksha, Kamalaksha and Vidyunmali. They ruled the three cities made up of gold and silver, such a great city created by the Devashilpi Maya. And they are capable of flying from one place to the other. So these asuras, they fly to various places independently and they were destroying so many other places, causing lot of problems to people and devas. So they will come together once in 3000 years or so. And only when they are all hit together by one arrow, they can be destroyed. That is the kind of some boon they have got. So the devas prayed to Lord Shiva and the Lord went on war with him, with all the three asuras. So with the earth as the chariot, the sun and moon, they were the wheels of the Lord's chariot. The four Vedas, they are the horses drawing the chariot. Brahmaji himself as the charioteer and Mount Meru as the bow. Adisesha as the bow string and Mahavishnu as the arrow. So with all that, he went into war with these people. And whenever the wheels get stuck on earth, because when they are going, Vishnu took the form of Vrishabha and lifted it with his horns. And the Lord Shiva, standing with one foot on Vrishabha and another one on the horse, he looked at the Tripuras, all the three cities, which joined at that moment. You know, at the end of 3000 years, they joined together. They all joined together at that moment. He laughed and just destroyed them with one arrow. So Tripura Haram, the one who destroyed all the three cities, and Adyam, who is first among everything, and Trinayanam, who has the three eyes, Jada Bhara Udharam, who carries the weight of the matted log with eminence, Jada Bhara Udharam, Chala Turagaharam, who wears the moving snake on as a necklace, and Mrigadharam, who holds the jumping deer in his hand. The jumping deer symbolizes the wavering mind. Mind is always supposed to be wavering. Sankalpa Vikalpatmakam Manaha. That is the characteristic of mind. And Mahadevam, the greatest among devas. And Devam, who is self-effulgent. That Swayam Prakasha Jyotihi. Mayi Sa Daya Bhavam, who has Daya Karuna on me. Pashupatim, the Lord of all beings, Brahmadi Lokanam Palakam Pasha Vimochakam, Chit Alambam, the support of wisdom, the abode of Atmananda, Sambam, who is united with Ambika, Samba, Sambam, and Ati Vidambam, he is a great entertainer, a great jester. Shivam Hridibhaje, I meditate on that Shiva in my heart. Great entertainer. Also the Shiva Tandava is supposed to be something so enthralling. So he is Ati Vidambam also. So Shivam Kriti Bhaje, I meditate upon that Shiva in my heart. That is the stotra here. Then Shloka 5, that talks about Eka Bhakti, which we already saw in the last webinar. Sahasram Vartante Jagati vibhudhah kshutrapaladah namanye swapneva tadanusaranam tatkritapalam hari brahmadinam api nikatabhajam sulabham chiranya cheshamboho shivatava padamboja bhajanam. So this shloka talks about eka bhakti. Eka bhakti means ishta devata bhakti on Shiva. Shiva as the Ishta Devata. So in this process, bhakti to other deities, it is criticized here. So in Saundarya Lahari, there is a shloka, fourth shloka. Tadanya Pandibhyam Abhayavarado Daivadaganaham Tomeka Naivasi Prakatitavara Vara Abhiti Abhinayam Bayatratum Datum Palamapicha Vanchasamadikam Sharanye Lokanam Tavaki Sharanav Yeva Nipunav. All the gods other than you, what do? They grant boons by their hands, by showing all the mudras, varahastam and abhayahastam, all that thing. But you alone differ from them. How you differ? to protect from fear and grant the phalam of their all their karmas and also to give whatever prayers they have got more than what is desired. Vanchasam adhikam datum by vancha, by your mere karuna. You want to give much more than what they have asked. In all the worlds, your feet alone are competent. They have to just come and fall at your feet. You don't want to even wait for them to look at your feet, lift their head and look up. The moment they fall at your feet, you don't have to pose through your hands and all that thing. Immediately you give them whatever they want. So that is your karuna. So you are differing from all other devatas in this manner. Here also about Shiva, similar prayer is made. Vibhudaha sahasram vartante jagati. There are thousands of devatas in the world. Sahasram vartante jagati. In the jagat, there are thousands of devatas. What do they do? Kshutrapaladaha, who give all mundane benefits. Whatever you ask them, you ask this. Because when we say they give mundane benefits, we should also know that we have been asking mundane benefits only from them. After praying to Lord Sri Rudra by reciting Rudram, the Lord is so pleased and he is ready to give anything to us. But Vedamata is so kind because she knows if we are asked to ask anything, we will be asking all kinds of mundane things. So through Chamakam, Vedamata lists close to about 400 items. Whatever that can be thought of in the entire Srishti are all listed there. So she has, the Vedamata gives all of them so that we will be able to ask exactly what we want to ask to the Lord. So Shudra Paladaha, who gives all mundane benefits, all other devatas. Na manye, I won't even consider worshipping those deities. I don't want any of them. Tat anusaranam, praying to them, and tat krita palam, and receiving the benefits, swapneva, even in my dream, I will not think of them. Shamboho, O Shambhum, Hari, Hari Brahmadinam api, even Vishnu, Brahma, and all those people, Hari, Brahma, all those people, Nikatabhajam, who are close by to you, Asulabham, very difficult to attain. You are such a for all those people, even though they are close to you, you are very difficult to attain by them. Tava pada amboja bhajanam, worship of your lotus feet alone, shiram shiram shiram, that the worship of the lotus feet alone, shiram yache, I beg always worship of your feet only, because you should always give me that thought, give me that blessing, that I should be only praying you. Your thought alone should be there in my mind all the time. And the next shloka is again praying for the compassion of the Lord, the karuna of the Lord. Smritau shastre vaidhye shakuna kavita gana phanitau purane mantre vam sutinatana hasyeshva chaturaha katam rajnyam preetir bhavati mayi koham pashupate pashum mam sarvajnyam pratita kripayam palaya vibho. Again addressing the Lord as O Pashupate, O the Lord of all beings. Not only that, sarvajnyaha, who is the knower of all, and pratitaha, who is very famous, vibho, and all-pervading Lord. He is Sarvajnaha, Sarvashaktiman, who pervades through the entire thing, who is very famous. Kaha aham, who am I? Such a lowly being I am. And Pashum, who is ignorant. I am like a Pashu, a cattle. I am very ignorant. Mam palaya kripaya, please protect me by your compassion, by your kripaya. Mam palaya, protect me. This is the prayer, and rest of the sloka is, you know, he lists these, his ignorance, various ignorance of this one. Smritav. Smritav means in Manush Smriti, Parasara Smriti, Gautama Smriti, there are so many Smriti Granthas. Smriti Granthas are just only derivative Granthas, derivative texts from the Shruti, from the Vedas. Whatever is given in the Vedas, they are all captured and they are all brought. So Smritis are written by human beings, whereas Shruti is supposed to be of divine origin. So Smriti Granthas, so there are so many Smriti Granthas, texts, Shastre, in Shastras like Siksha Shastram, Kalpa Shastram, Vyakarana Shastram, Nirukta, Chandas, Jyotisha Shastram, all those things. And Vaidya means in all the medical texts, there are so many texts, Sushruta, there are so many texts given by them. and Shakuna Kavita Gana Panitao. In the arts of Shakuna, there are Shakuna, Nimitta, all those things are there. You know, if the crow crosses you in the right before a cat crosses you before you leave, there is a Shakuna Shastram. It's a very big Shastram also. Shakuna Shastram is there. Then all these poetic ability to write poems and all, music. So all these things. So Shakuna, Kavita, Gana Panitao and Purane. In all the Puranas, Mantreva, in the use of mantras, Stuti, Stuti, Natana, Hasyeshu, in the ability to praise, Stuti, or Natana, in dance and act and all those things, and Hasyeshu, comedy, the presence of mind, good bit. Achaturaha, in any of these, I am inefficient. I don't know any of these things at all. I have not read any of them. I am like a Pashu. That's what he said. Mayi Preeti Rajnyam Katam Bhavati. How can kings be pleased with me? A person who is incapable of any of these things, how any king can be pleased with me and give me anything that I can take? So please compassion towards me. I cannot go anywhere. That's what he means. I have no ability. I cannot. That's why in Nilakantha Dikshitar says, even if I am not capable, why are you looking at my merit? You are Sarvajnaha. You are Jagadapita. You should not look at my merit. Because I am your child, don't look at my merit. Your duty is only to be compassionate and then try to give me whatever I would need. I don't even know what I need. So you have to give me what I need. So this expresses the Dina Bhavaha of the devotee who considers himself as Alpajnaha, Alpashaktiman. I don't know anything. I don't have any Shakti. And praying to his Ishta Devata, Shiva here, for compassion and upliftment. So that is the prayer. Shloka 6. This is another important shloka. No use of all these tarka and all these shastras. When it comes to Shiva Bhakti, no use of any of these shastras and all. Gatova mritprindopi anurapicha dhumognira chalaha patova tanturva pariharati kim gora shamanam prithakantakshobham vagasitarasa tarka vachasaha padambojam shamboho bhaja paramasaukyam vrajasudhihi. So the ultimate aim of all in the vision of our scriptures is what? Ishvara Swarupa Jnana. So we all want to gain that. The ultimate aim is Ishvara Swarupa Jnanam, because that alone will give us ultimate peace, ultimate security and fulfillment. Whatever other security and all we think we have by having all this insurance and all, that will not give us ultimate security and fulfillment. So in philosophical terms, we call it Brahma Jnanam or Atma Jnanam. And in religious language, we call it as Ishvara Swarupa Jnanam. So in Vedanta, we call it as Brahma Jnanam or Atma Jnanam. In Bhakti language, we call it Ishvara Swarupa Jnanam. So Veda Purva Bhaga or Karma Kanda portion, this I have told maybe in other lectures. Here also just I will tell for the sake of those who have not listened to those. The Vedas could be divided into two parts. The first portion is called Veda Purva Bhaga. The first part is called Karma Kanda portion. And that concentrates on Eka Rupa Ishwaraha and Aneka Rupa Ishwaraha. Whereas the Veda Antabhaga, the later portion of Vedas, is called Jnana Kanda. That focuses on the Arupa Ishwaraha, the one that we talked about in the last webinar. That means what? The whole of Vedas has only one theme, namely Ishwaraha. Either Eka Rupa Ishwaraha or Aneka Rupa Ishwaraha or Arupa Ishwaraha. That is all the subject matter of the entire Vedas. Vedaischa Sarvaihi Ahameva Vedyaha Vedanta Krit Veda Videva Chaham. That's what Krishna said in the 15th chapter. So to understand the Vedas, we need some secondary sciences also. One cannot just understand Vedas by reading them or going through a dictionary or any of those. We need to learn lot of secondary sciences to understand Vedas. Vyakarana Shastra or Pada Shastra, Tarka Shastra or Pramana Shastra, and then Mimamsa Shastra, and there are this Vakya Shastra, Mimamsa Shastra and Vakya Shastra. So these three things are essential before a person comes to Vedanta. So Pada Vakya Pramana, ప్రమాణ శాస్త్రాన్ని. యాక్చువల్లీ ఈ నాది బిరుదావళి సది ఆచార్య పదవాక్య ప్రమాణ పారావార పారీణ. సో పదవాక్య ప్రమాణ మీన్స్ దిస్ పదశాస్త్రం రిఫర్స్ టు వ్యాకరణ, వాక్య శాస్త్రం దాట్ రిఫర్స్ టు దిస్ వేదాంత శాస్త్రం, అండ్ ది ప్రమాణ శాస్త్రం రిఫర్స్ టు తర్కశాస్త్రం. సో త్రీ టూల్స్, దే ఆర్ సపోజ్ టు బి ద త్రీ కీస్ ఫార్ లర్నింగ్ వేదాస్. అండ్ ఇన్ అవర్ ట్రెడిషన్, వెన్ ఎనీ వన్ గోస్ టు అన్ ఆశ్రమ ఫార్ లర్నింగ్ వేదాంతిక్ స్టడీ, then he has to study the fundamentals of all these three sciences. Unless a person completes the courses of all these, he cannot go into Vedanta. So they will study first Laghu Siddhanta Kaumudi, that is the Vyakarana, and then if you survive that, then they will go to Siddhanta Kaumudi, and then Panini, all those things, they are all higher levels. Then Mimamsa Paribhasha, they will study Artha Sangraha, and then Tarka Sangraha. They have to learn all these things. And after they complete the study of all these three only, they can go to Vedanta. But what happens in most cases, many people, they get attracted by these three Shastras themselves, because Tarka Shastra is very beautiful, because it has so many nice things in the way Tarka Shastra is designed. So people might get attached to that and just become a Tarkika. They won't just go beyond that at all. So if you begin to understand them, by mistake perhaps, because difficult to understand, it will be so thrilling that unknowingly we may get sucked into any one of these Shastras. And once you are carried away by them, we may not come to the original intent at all, original purpose of what? Ishvara Swarupa Jnanam. And therefore, these can become a trap if a person is not alert. That's what Acharya is going to tell here. They may become a trap. Even though they are good studies which are required for learning Vedanta, ultimately, they may themselves become a trap. That is why in Bhajagovindam, Shankaracharya addresses a person who is stuck in Panini grammar. This person, this is the first step. He is supposed to learn grammar first, and then he will learn Tarka and Mimamsa later. First, in the very first step itself, this person gets stuck. So he says, Bhajagovindam, Govindam bhaja mudamate, samprapte sannihite kale, nahi nahi rakshati dukrinj karane. Dukrinj karane refers to the grammar. Grammar is not going to remove your problem of death, samsara, suffering. It is not going to remove that at all. In fact, one expresses one's sorrow. Maybe by learning grammar, what can we do? We may express our sorrow more grammatically perhaps. Or if one is a logician, he can express the sorrow more logically. So without, you know, there are so many methods in all these things, you know, avyapti, ativyapti, asambhava doshaha. So they are all various things in Tarka Shastram. But in spite of saying all that, what will happen studying all that? He will still continue to be in sorrow only. So Bhajagovindam, Shankara warns about the trap of Vyakarana Shastra in Bhajagovindam. And in Shivananda Lahari, Shankaracharya warns against the trap of Tarka Shastra. So Bhajagovindam warned about the trap of Vyakarana Shastra. Here he is warning about the trap of Tarka Shastra, the logic. He says, in Tarka Shastra, a person analyzes many things. What are those things he analyzes? Gataha va mritpindaha va? Question. So gataha means a part, which is a karyam. Part is a karyam. Karyam means the effect. And mritpindaha. Mritpindaha is a lump of clay, which is karanam, which is the cause. So a part is made from clay. So clay becomes cause, part is karyam. What is the relationship between the clay and part? That is analyzed in Tarka Shastra, for example. It's a very big analysis. Whether it is a sadkaryavada, or is it asadkaryavada, or sangatavada? There are so many methods. And there are various purvapakshas against various conclusions. One can analyze for lifelong just this gatahava, mritpindahava, this question. Anuhu api, and what is the ultimate cause of the universe? Another big question. Because these are all very, very big questions in all these Tarka Shastras. Each philosopher takes up and never arrive at any conclusion at all. Even in science, in spite of so much of analysis, the origin of the universe is inexplicable. We don't know what is the origin of the universe yet. Even a Big Bang theory, people can go through Big Bang theory, which itself is doubted now. It's all vague only. what was before the bang, big bang, what was before that, they generally say it cannot be talked about at all. So it is a state of what? Non-information. There is nothing before that. We don't know. Means what? I don't know. A state of non-information means I do not know. So one can never conclude the discussion of cosmology and the tarkikas, the experts in tarka. They analyze and they say Paramanuhu is the ultimate cause. And regarding the nature of Paramanu, Paramanu means atom. Regarding the nature of Paramanu, there is endless discussion. And another discussion is what? Dhumaha Agnihi Achalaha. This is another example. In Tarka, these things, they come all the time. Suppose there is a mountain, Achalaha, and there is a smoke, Dhumaha, then there must be fire, Agni. And they say fire is inferred. And thereafter they analyze. So this is a simple inference. There is a mountain, there is smoke, so there is fire. It's a simple inference. Then they analyze it. What is the cause of this inference? How do I conclude there is fire? Whether it is the smoke is the cause of inference, or the knowledge of the smoke is the cause of inference. It's hair splitting. Because he has to analyze every bit so that he cannot go even one more step beyond afterwards. To that extent, he should keep on analyzing. So if you tell a tarkika, a logician, a medicine cures a disease, then he will say it is wrong. He will say medicine is already there in the cupboard. For example, you bought the medicine, or even the medicine shop, cupboard medicine is there, but that does not cure. Therefore, medicine does not cure by itself, but medicine will cure only when it is consumed. So only the consumed medicine alone can cure. Then another person will say, it is not the consumed medicine that is curing. Medicine consumption that cures, it is not the consumed medicine that cures, but medicine consumption only cures. Now we should understand the difference. It's not the consumed medicine, but medicine consumption. And in the analysis, they will forget or refuse to take the medicine and the disease will continue. This is how tarkikas end up discussing so many things to the last bit, forget the actual aim of the study. They talk about various possible fallacies. They call them Hetu Abhasa. There are so many Hetu Abhasa, there are so many of them. So they talk about many of those things. And there is a very big analysis of possible fallacies also in inference. There are books and books. What is the right definition of a fallacy? That is another question. What is fallacious definition of fallacy? That is another question. So, already by hearing all these things, our heads will start to reel. This is called the Tarkashastra. Then, Patova Tanturva. If somehow you manage the pot clay logic, for example, then they will come to the cloth analysis. That is another example. Pataha means a piece of cloth. Tantuhu means the yarn or the string. What is the relationship between the cloth and the string? So what is samavayi karanam? What is the samavayi? So what is the nimitta karanam? What is the upadana karanam? All those analysis. Shankaracharya asks, what do you get out of all these things? Okay, you bet them all to death. You got so many things out. What do you get out of them all by analysis? Kim Gorashamanam Pariharati. Pariharati. That's what he's asking. Gorashamanaha. Gorashamanaha means Yamadharma Raja. Shamanaha. Gorashamanaha means Shamanaha means one who subdues, one who conquers everyone. Shamayati Sarvan Iti Shamanaha. So he conquers everyone. Even the most powerful person was very arrogant. As the age comes for him, he will mellow down. There is no choice. Even in the walking, we can see all this gambhiryam. They are all gone when he walks. So makuru dana jana yavana garvam harati nimeshat kala sarvam. All those things, they will all get dissipated by the role of kalam. So Shankaracharya says shamanaha. So one mild heart attack is adequate for a person to get off gear. All garvam etc. will be gone. So Yama is the subduer of everything. and she destroys, since she destroys everyone, no one wants to be wiped out, because our innate desire is what? Is to be eternal. Nobody wants to die. Everybody thinks that they want to be eternal. That is why, you know, he said in Kashi, it's a common sight, they always take a person who is dead to cremate. And so many people walk with him, Ram Nam Satyah, all that thing they recite and go. And everybody walking there thinks that he alone is permanent. The other guy is gone, I am going to be there forever. That's what he thinks. That is the Vichitram. That is considered to be one of the wonders. Because we cannot accept mortality. And Yama, who brings this, he becomes terrible for us. So, why immortality is our nature? For example, why we reject mortality? Our innate desire is to be eternal. That is why we say eternity is our nature. So, why immortality is our nature? Because we cannot accept mortality. What we reject is unnatural. This is the logic. For example, when you consume food, if it is good food, then you consume it, no problem. But if there is some poison or something which is not allergen is there in the food, you throw up. It is natural. So the body doesn't take it. Because we cannot accept mortality, Yama, who brings this, he becomes terrible. And so become what? Gora Shamanaha. That is the name for Yamadharma Raja, the terrible Yama. Can you conquer him by all these Tarka and all these Vyakarana? All the Tarkikas have died. All the grammarians have died. That itself is the proof that Tarka does not solve this problem. And the only one who can destroy Yama is Kala Kalaha, Ishwaraha, Shiva. He is the Kala for Kalam itself. We know from Markandeya story. And so, why do you hold on to Tarka and Vyakarana and all those things? That is the question the Acharya is asking. So, surrender to the Lord. So, Vritha Kanta Kshobam Vahasi. Kanta Kshobam. What is the result of all this Tarka Jnanam? Studying all this Tarka and analyzing, arguing and all of them. He says, your throat only will get tired. A pain in the throat is only the benefit. Vritha. Vritha means in vain. Vahasi. Vahasi you acquire. So, you acquire what? Kanta Kshobam. The pain, the discomfort in the throat. In Brahma Sutras also, there is a sutra, Tarkasya Atyantam Anapeksha. There is a sutra like that. Tarka Shastra is the least needed for Vedanta Jnanam. Because Katopanishad itself says, Naisha Tarkena Matirapaneya. So, one cannot reach that Lord by Tarka. So, all these things are... But this is the strange thing. To go to Vedanta, you need all these. But we say that it is no use to go to moksha using any of them. The reason why we need to know is we should use tarka to try to interpret the Shruti properly. We should try to use tarka for the benefit of understanding Vedas, not to contradict, and also because Vedas or Vedavakyam is given by the Lord. One cannot contradict them. There is no internal contradiction in Vedas also. So one should use the Tarka Shastra essentially to understand and interpret Veda properly. That's what one should use it for, not for anything else. So Tarka Shastra is the least needed for Vedanta Jnanam because that is how it is, the Shruti is. In fact, if at all we use logic in Vedanta, you know, it should for only one purpose, to show that logic will not be useful to prove that. It is logically, to logically prove that logic is not useful for gaining moksha, one can use logic. Then, Tarasa Tarka Vachasa. Through the words of Tarka Shastra, intensely spoken. Tarasa Tarka Vachasa means loud Tarka Vakyams. All the loud argumentative things, forcefully. You are only straining your throat only. So, what should you do? He said, Bhajagovindam there. In Bhajagovindam, and here he says, Padambojam Shamboho Bhaja. There, Bhajagovindam, here Bhaja Shamboho, Padambojam Shamboho Bhaja. May you resort to, may you surrender to the lotus feet of Lord Shiva. He is presenting Lord Shiva as a person here, because the Acharya talks about the first level of bhakti. If you remember that Ekarupa Bhakti, the personal God, and then to Aneka Rupa. And later, if the student is ready, he can talk about Arupa also. So here he talks about the Eka Rupa Bhakti only to the Lord. For a beginner, a personal God, Shiva is good. May you surrender to him. And by that, what do you get? By surrendering unto the Lord, there the benefit was what? Kantakshobam. That was what one would get. By learning all this tarka and all, he will get only he will only be straining the throat. But here, Parama Saukhyam Vraja. By surrendering to that Lord Shiva, you will get Paramasaukhyam. May you get infinite happiness, relief, peace, security. And Sudhihi. Sudhihi is a Sambodhana here, addressing all devotees. O Sudhihi, O intelligent devotees, intelligent people. A very nice way of addressing. So, you know, look at that. This is our Vedas teach us to address somebody as Sudhihi, O intelligent people, instead of saying, O sinners. No. So here says Sudhihi, very nice way of addressing, O intelligent ones, I hope you will understand, and so may you decide what to do. So that is your, I am giving you this knowledge so that you can decide what to do. Shloka 7, Sarvam Shivarpanam. That is the attitude one should develop. Whatever I do, everything is Ishwararpanam. Manaste Padabje. Shiva satu vachastotra panitau karau cha abhyarchayam shrutirapi katha karnana vidhau tavadhyane buddhihi nayana yugalam murti vibhave paragrantan kairva paramashiva jane paramataha. So Paramashiva in the fourth line, O Paramashiva, manaha te padabje nivasatau. Let my mind dwell on your lotus feet. Padabje. Vachaha stotra panitau nivasatu. Let my speech, vachaha, let them dwell on your hymns of glory. Stotra panitau. Karaucha abhyarchaya. Let my hands engage in your archana with flowers and so many nice things. Shrutihi api katha akarnana vidhau. Let my ears, let them hear your charitam, katha. Buddhihi tava dhyane nivasatau. Let my intellect dwell in your meditation. Yata dipo nivatastaha nengate soma mapsmritam yogino yata chittasya prinjato yoga matmanaha. Swami Krishna said, as a flame, it does not flicker in a windless place. Such is the mind of a disciplined yogi. A person's mind should be like that, because a deepam, that the flame of the deepam will not flicker in a windless place. Mind should be achanchalam. It should be like that. Practicing meditation on God, one should practice the mind to be like that. So, nayana yugalam murti vibhave, my eyes, nayana yugalam, let them dwell on the murti vibhavam, the vibhavam of your form, your murti. And when all my organs are engaged in this manner, ataha param, then kairva paragrantan jane. With what may I know, study any other text? Because my entire body and the senses are all occupied in your bhakti. I am thinking of you only all the time. How can I study? I have time to study, or even my instruments are to study. How can I do anything else? Paragrantan. Paragrantan means just reading several books will not give prema bhakti for me. As Ramakrishna says, it is written in almanac that so much rain will come on a particular day. You know, in the Panjanga Shravana, normally people do in the new year. So it will say it will rain so much. Like, however much you can squeeze the Panjangam, you will get not even one drop of rain. Right? So that is how it should be. By having all this knowledge and reading all these other books, it does not help me at all. So Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, Tameva Dhiro Vignaya Prajnam Kurvati Brahmanaha Nanudhyayat Bahupchabdane Vacho Vigalapanam Hitate. Let all the intelligent seekers of Brahman, let them gain prajna after knowing this. No need to practice several words, shastras, go learn all this book and that book. It will only strain the vocal cords. So that's what the Upanishad also declares. So there is no need for people to go to anything else and all, learning this and that. Shiva Bhakti is the ultimate for a person to practice, to know and practice. That is again another stuti. Shloka 8. Again, no divinity superior to Lord Shiva. Yata buddhishaktau rajatamiti kachashmani manihi jale paishte kshiram bhavati mrigatrushna susalilam tata deva bhrantya bhajati bhavadhanyam jatajanaha mahadevesham tvam manasichana matva pashupatehe. Pashupate, again fourth line, O Pashupati, the lord of all beings, yata suktau rajatam iti buddhihi bhavati. Just as the intellect calling a seashell as silver, because in the sunlight it may be shining. So the buddhi might call it silver. And kachashmani manihi, glass pieces as precious stones, the mind might get tempted to call them. Jale parishte kshiram, the water mixed with flour as milk. And mriga trishnasu salilam, the mirage water. Tatha, in the same way, like the buddhi might get, you know, mistaken for all these things into so many various things. In the same way, jada janaha bhajati, the foolish people, they worship bhavadanyam, all other devatas other than you. So all those people who worship other devatas other than Shiva, he is calling them as jada janaha, the people who are all foolish people. So yajante sattvika devan yaksha rakshamsi rajasaha pretan bhudaganamschan ye yajante tamasa janaha. So sattvic people, they worship the gods. Rajasic people worship all the demigods, the demons and all those people. And tamasic people, they worship the ghosts and rakshasas and the spirits of the dead. So mahadevesham, so don't worship anything else. Mahadevesham, who is the greatest god of all, tvam manasi na matva, without thinking of you in my mind, the mind. Again, Dishta Devata Bhakti is what is highlighted here. So, Eka Bhakti, this is called Ninda Stuti and Stuti Ninda. So, to praise one Devata, they normally say all other Devata Bhakti is useless. So, if you take Shiva Puranam, Shiva will be highlighted like that. If you go to Devi Bhagavatam, they will say there is no use of worshipping any other Devata other than Devi. If you go to Vishnu Puranam, no other benefit of worshipping any other Devata than Vishnu. So this is a particular Nyaya. So to praise one God, they belittle others. This is a common practice in the Bhakti literature. Shloka 9. Mind is considered to be the most appropriate flower for Shiva Puja. It's an excellent shloka, because this is mind, what to offer to the Shiva, to the Lord. Gabhire kasare విశది విజనే ఘోర విపినే విశాలే శైలే చ భ్రమతి కుసుమార్థం జడమతి సమర్పైకం చేతః సరసి జంబుమానాత భవతే సుఖేనావస్థాతుం జనైః న జానాతి కిమహో. శంకర వాంటెడ్ టు హీ లిఫ్ట్స్ దిస్ భక్త ఈవెన్ ఫర్దర్. Initially, the puja may be in the form of, you know, all the shodas upachara pujas with so many abhishekams, 12 items, 16 items, archana, all that. In all those, one concentrates more on the physical aspects of the puja and forgets the significance of the puja itself. It becomes a mechanical routine, and often one does not go to the next stage at all. So Shankaracharya criticizes those people, how long are you going to be obsessed with the offering of all these materials to the Lord? The material offering is only symbolic, and the real offering is what? Is your own ego, is your own mind. That is one flower, very easy to offer. One need not go to a store to buy it. People may go, and recently somebody known to me, he went to some other place to find 1008 lotuses to offer to the goddess. Use only one lotus, namely your Hridayam Bhojam, the lotus of your mind which is a lotus, to find that one does not have to go anywhere to get that lotus. But what is the problem? When we criticize the mechanical worship, one tends to drop all that. See, when Acharya or somebody criticizes mechanical worship, what we tend to do? We drop that also and don't do anything. He used to have a vice president of research. A person, you know, somebody used to write all these technical memos and all that. And when he submits to him, he once submitted, and he goes through whatever memorandum was submitted to him. He is very keen on doing that. he went through that and he wrote a note, you had an excellent opportunity to impress me and you blew it up. That is what he wrote. And what this person did? Afterwards, he removed him from the main list and that's it. So this is what happens. People, when they do all this worship, if you criticize them, then they stop doing that also instead of growing up. So between mechanical worship and no worship, certainly we recommend mechanical worship in the first stage. Here Shankaracharya wants to transform a mechanical worshipper to an involved worshipper. So he criticizes him. He says, Gabhire kasare vishati. This mechanical karmataha, the ritualist, is a karmataha. He enters into gabhire kasare, deep kasare, lakes, reservoirs in search of lotus flowers. Gabhire means deep. So because he thinks offering lotus is the ultimate thing to the Lord. So many times maybe the number of lotuses he offers, the people who attend the puja, they may think so high of him perhaps. Or gora vipine vishati. He enters into frightening wild forests. Vipinam, vana, all the forests. He enters into them. Vijane means where there are no people. He enters into those forests to do tapas. That is interior of the forest. Vijane is adjective to gora vipine. So vijane gora vipine vishati. And some other times what they do? Vishale shaile cha brahmati. He roams in vast mountains, all these so many places, the mountains, mountain ranges, for looking at some peculiar, strange flowers. These are all very rare flowers. There is a flower called Brahma Kamalam, it seems. That is available only near the Badrinath and all those places. The Valley of Flowers, the very rare flower. All for what? Kusumartham. For flowers which are only symbolic. They go all over the place just for that. In fact, flower offering is nothing because all flowers belong to whom? Belong to the Lord only. And what type of person he is? Jadamatihi, the dull-witted one, unintelligent people. Whereas, what does a mature devotee does? He does not go anywhere. He plucks the only flower from himself, namely his mind, his akankara. Chetas sarasijam samarpya. Chetaha means heart, mind. Here, lotus-like heart, mind. Chetaha eva sarasijam. So, chetas sarasijam, compound word. So, how many minds we have actually? Ekam. Ekam chetas sarasijam samarpya. So, the one mind he takes, to whom he gives it. We have already offered it to so many people in pieces. All of us have given our mind to so many people. Swami Dayananda so nicely says, we have given all of our mind to so many people in pieces. So collect them all and make them into one whole mind and offer it to that Lord. Bhavate Shivaya Samarpya. To you, the people should offer. Hey, Umanatha. Umanatha means Sambodhana again. Your Parvati Patihi. If mind is offered to all the local ones around, it creates only problems. Whereas when mind is offered to the Lord, all problems get solved. There is no more problem. So, sukena avastatum. One can remain comfortable, relaxed afterwards. Because this is one relationship where the Lord does not have any expectations at all. For all other people, whatever you give, they have some expectation. Lord doesn't have any expectation at all. Janaha kim na janati. Even though in our initial bhakti, we have expectations from the Lord. Janaha kim na janati. Why people do not know this method of offering to this Lord? Aho, it's a great wonder indeed. Even though it is the easiest and best. I don't have to go anywhere to buy that flower. It is right in me. I have to only make an effort to offer to the Lord and surrender unto Him. Kim, kasmat, janaha, iha na janati. Aho, aho means acharyam. That is acharyam. That is the greatest acharyam. The acharyam is now trying to give. And that is what is said at the end of every puja. Puja to remind us of the significance of the puja. I will take just a few more minutes to complete this. So, tanu manu dhanu sab kuchhe thera. In the Arati song, all these things belong to you. That's what we say. But unfortunately, that also has become another mechanical feature. Instead of saying everything belongs to you and offering to the Lord, that also has become mechanical. Swamiji beautifully says, every day this fellow says the same thing. Because dhan is money, you can offer every day, no problem. So today also I can offer, tomorrow also I can offer. Than and man, we have got only once. The body and mind is only one there. and we have offered yesterday, and what can we offer today? So Swamiji says, Lord makes a note of it. Whenever you offer this, he makes a note. So this person has offered his mind to me. He writes down. But next day also, this person chants the same thing. Then the Lord wonders, perhaps, maybe I have forgotten to write properly or made a mistake. So let me write again. Let me wait and see. And the next day and the next day also, the person is offering the same thing. And the Lord understands that it is only a threat offer. If you don't do what I want to, if you don't give me what I want, I will give you the mind. Be careful. But it really, he will not be offered at all. He's not offering it at all. It is only a lip service. So if we really mean it is done only once. Then comes the next question. If I really offer the mind to the Lord, what does it mean? We have to understand that. As long as I am alive, the mind is going to be with me only, within the body. Then we should know, what do we mean by surrendering? That is why this is an important topic. I just want to cover this. What is meant by surrendering? The principle of it. We all say surrender unto the Lord. What do we mean by that? The human mind has got twofold roles to play. One is the role of a karta and another is the role of a bhokta. Karta is the doership and bhokta is the enjoyership. Kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam. So karta and bhokta, my individuality, that is expressed in that. And when I have to surrender, it is the surrender of the karta and bhokta that is surrendered. He does the karta and bhokta. Now, how does the karta and bhokta surrender to the Lord? Here the Lord represents dharma, which has been given by the Lord, because the Lord is the one who gave dharma to us. The dharmic way of life given by the Shastras represents what? Represents God's will or God's teaching. And if I've got two options, either I can lead a life in keeping with dharma, that means what? Which is in alignment of my individuality with the will of God. So whatever action I do according to the tenets of dharma. That means I am in keeping with the tenets of my individuality is in alignment with that of the Lord. My individual karta, when it is aligned to the will of the Lord, then that is called surrender. So by surrender, it is not something you go and fall at some feet or anything. When our individual will is in alignment with dharma, that is called surrender. And how do I know what is the will of the Lord? That is the next question. So whenever I do a dharmic action, I have surrendered to dharma, and dharma is God's will. Therefore, I have surrendered to the will of God. Okay. That means I have surrendered to the Lord. This will be, so that means I have surrendered to the Lord means what? It will be difficult because my personal raga dveshas will come in the way. They will always challenge me. And it will say, you go by what your convenience and profitable things are. Why are you unnecessarily doing this? So the individuality is going to assert itself in terms of its ragadveshas, our own vasanas. And if I go by my ragadvesha, I go away from the Lord. But if I go by what is right and wrong, then I have surrendered to the will of the Lord. And therefore, what is surrender of mine? As a karta, I follow dharma. Whatever I do, my actions should be aligned to dharma. So, dharmic way of life is really surrendering the mind to the Lord. A dharmic way of life only. So, even if that dharmic way of life is going to be difficult for me, just as Arjuna found it very difficult, you know, of killing in the Dharma Yuddham, it's going to be very painful. He was not able to kill, enter into a battle with Bhishma, Drona and his kith and kins, all of them. So, Arjuna then, what did he do? He surrendered his mind, his individuality to the Lord. That is what Krishna said in the 11th chapter. Nimitta matram bhavam savyasachin. That's what he said. So, as a karta, I follow dharma. That is what is meant by surrender. Then the second occasion, where my individuality becomes dominant, is as a bhokta, as an enjoyer. As a bhokta, when I receive the karma palam, the palam of all my karmas, I judge the result. Then I will look upon it as good result or bad result. And when it is not to my expectation, I resist the result. I get irritated, I get frustrated, I get angered, which is directed towards finally to the Lord also. Oh Lord, why you are so incompassionate? Why you are not giving me what I wanted? Because according to me, Lord should give only good, rosy results. That's what I think. The why me psychology, that is there everywhere. So I judge even the Lord and see him as unjust. I even become an atheist. People have even switched religions for some of this. So as a bhokta, if I look upon every result as just a result of God, that result I readily accept. That acceptance is called surrender to the will of Lord. This is otherwise called Karma Yoga. When in our Bhagavad Gita discussions, we have already talked about in great detail, it is the Ishwara Arpana Buddhi. When you do any work, do it as an offering to the Lord. And when the result comes, take it as Ishwara Prasada. So Ishwara Arpana Buddhi and Ishwara Prasada Buddhi, that is called surrender. So with this, we'll stop here. We'll continue in the next webinar. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishthitah tasya prakriti linasya parasamaheshwarah Sri Krishna arpanamastu Narayana.